Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome, one and all.
Wait, we're allowing one and all?
Would you rather it just be one?
One, yes.
Just
welcome
one. Welcome, you.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
This is an intimate experience.
It's very intimate. You're looking very jazzy today.
Yeah, I really appreciate the effort you put forth.
If there's anybody else in the room that can hear this, please usher them out. We can't have that.
Yeah, no, this is for your ears only.
This is just me and Max and you.
That's right. Just the three of us.
Oh, yeah.
We got some movies, though.
Shoulder dancing.
Ooh, shoulder dancing. You can keep getting those physical jokes into the podcast.
It's kind of what I do.
It really is one of those things.
Sorry, everybody, that we had to do a couple over the computer. I know you hate that.
It's, you know, it works. Like,
yeah.
It's just always tricky because we can look at each other here. We, you know what I mean? We got a small little hut made out of AOL disk boxes.
So many of those.
And we can just chit chat and have a good time. We don't have to like wait a second to make sure that the other person's not done talking.
Oh, I hate that. That's the worst. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's physical gags, you know, and nobody can see them, but Max sees them.
That's right. I do see your finger going into your other finger made into a hole.
That's right. That's what it was.
That's it. Yep. It went in several times.
Yes. Next time, two fingers. Oh. Anyways, we've got movies, people.
Yes, we do.
I got some okay movies. I don't know what you got. Do you want to go first, or would you like to end it today?
I end on a high note.
Then I will go first.
Okay.
So my first movie is animated.
Ooh.
It's an animated. It's Over the Moon.
Oh, Over the Moon.
Over the Moon from 2020. I watched it on April 18th. Your IMDb minutes is 1 hour 35 minutes. Your genre, animation, adventure, comedy, family. It got 4 that time.
Whoa.
Nice. Directed by Glenn Keane and John Cons? Cars? Handwriting, people. Starring Kathy Ang, John Cho, and Robert G. Choi? Choi?
Handwriting people.
I can't read any foreign names, and all I do is pick foreign movies.
We made
movies.
It through 3 Rurouni Kenshin somehow.
Yes, we did. There's more Japanese movies coming. Don't worry, people.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't avoid them. They're just, a lot of them are so good and interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I love them. I've really been picking up my foreign movie game, as you'll see. We'll get there.
A lot of subs?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like to put it on the English subtitles as well and just, like, see what weird mismatches there are.
Oh, okay.
I love it when, like, it's, like, the actual version was, like, you bastard, I'll murder you. And then, like, the actual voice they throw over it is, like, no, you jerk.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that. That's my favorite.
So you're going sub-dub combo.
I do a combo usually.
Wow.
Yep. It's so funny.
That is funny.
It's hard on my brain, but it's good.
I like it.
Your IMDb movie summary. In this animated musical, a girl builds a rocket ship and blasts off, hoping to meet a mythical moon goddess.
How cool.
This was an Oscar nominee.
Ooh.
It didn't win.
Oh.
Yep. But I thought it was very good.
Did you think it should win?
Well, I do. I think it's very good. I think it's a very sad movie. But at the same time, this is the movie I think is better than Soul.
Okay.
And Onward.
Fair enough. And you loved Onward.
I loved Onward. And I think that might be a polarizing kind of opinion because this was a very different, it's a very cultural kind of movie. And I think they pulled it off. Like, I was in the
nice.
Whole time.
That's very
cool.
And
it gets silly. There's weird alien creatures. Ken Jeong shows up as an alien.
Oh, wow.
As he does. He sings a song that's not good.
Okay.
But like, there's a lot of different music. It really is a musical. There's a rap. There's a ping pong rap battle.
Wow.
And I was just like, I was expecting to hate it because you saw it building up, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be terrible. I was like, no, this is actually fine.
That's
okay
awesome.
With this. Wow. This is like rap for kids. You got it.
That's cool.
Rap for kids. But the movie is in fact sad. It's about a little girl whose mother slowly is dying.
Okay.
And then the mother's kind of, you know, not there. The dad wants to start dating again, and the girl's just not having it as she gets older.
Sure.
And she wants to go to the moon, and there's a whole mythology about the moon goddess, and she has magical powers, and she just wants to go, and she actually goes.
Oh, wow.
And once she gets to the moon, it's like fairy tale world. It's like very, very, it's a mix of aliens and like fairy tale kind of storytelling.
That's cool.
Really cool, really cool. Just the visuals were awesome, but it is so incredibly sad. It's just a sad movie. I was like welling up the whole time.
Wow. That's powerful. That's good. Animated they have to work a little harder sometimes, and you really have to hit home, but when it lands, it really lands.
I mean, movies with feels, I think, are important. I think kids have a harder time processing loss and just issues like that.
Mm-hmm.
The writer of this particular movie knew she was going to pass away and wrote this for her daughter as a way to cope.
So Holy shit.
It's insanely sad.
Yeah.
And once I found that out, you find that out at the end after the movie wraps, that it was actually that, and I was like, oh God. Why?
And I thought I had no tears left.
Yeah, just when I thought I was dry, here they come.
Yep.
And then I pooped a little, and I was like, well, that's it. That's it for me.
It had to come out of both ends.
That's right.
But yeah, it's an awesome movie. That's Please cool. check it out.
That's awesome.
But it'll gut punch you for sure.
Oh, I like that though. I like those movies that I need like recovery days.
Oh yeah, this is definitely one of
those. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely. So I mean, I don't want to give away too much more than that. I think it's just something people should go watch. So I'm going to go straight into the numbers.
Yeah.
IMDb. They gave it a 6.4.
It's a little low.
It's a little low.
A little low, IMDb.
A little low. The critics over at Rotten Tomatoes gave it 81%.
Okay, now we're talking.
99 critics.
Got 99 critics.
One more guy. The 6.4 ain't one. I hear you.
That's right.
The audience gave it 71%, 500 plus.
Mm-hmm.
I gave this a 9.
Holy shit.
I gave this a 9 because I loved it that much. My wife gave it an 8.5.
God damn.
And my mother-in-law.
I cried in front of the wife and the mother-in-law.
I did.
Wow.
My mother-in-law fell asleep.
Oh my goodness.
She literally, because she was in and out, and I was paying attention to the movie, so I didn't know how in and out she was. She goes, "That was kind of good, but I'm so sleepy. No score for me. It was." No.
I like that she's honest. It doesn't just fabricate a score.
Well, she's got
like, you know what?
She's
I'm too tired for scores.
She's just like a cartoon character as it is. Yeah, so she's got no skin in the game.
Fair enough. I like it.
Yeah. So what you got?
2020 as well.
Ooh,
Books of Blood.
Whoa, there's books on blood.
Books of Blood. They just try to pick them up and they just go through your fingers. You can't pick them up because they're blood.
That sounds so hard to read.
Very hard to read.
Wow, okay. Yeah. I'm curious now.
I watched this in, you guessed it, October.
Ooh, horror.
Of 2020, yeah. It is 1 hour, 47 minutes long. It is a horror anthology directed by Brannon Braga, starring Britt Robertson, Rafi Guaran, again, handwriting, and Anna Friel.
Okay.
The summary is a journey into uncharted territory through three tales tangled in space and time.
Space? I love space.
And time.
Ooh, that could be good.
It's like a bonus, like salt and pepper.
What?
Yeah. Or salt and pepper.
Oh, they're way better.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, no, they're good.
All right. So you know I'm a big, big fan of horror anthology films.
I thought you were going to say salt and pepper.
I'm also a big fan of salt and pepper.
Your rendition of Shoop is just amazing.
Yeah, that's right. This movie is not very good. This movie is based on the Clive Barker short stories, The Books of Blood.
Okay.
They've picked out some of the tales and kind of told parts of the stories. Definitely, the script feels like they're trying to take Clive Barker and make him as accessible as they can to a broad horror audience.
Okay.
Doesn't quite work because Clive Barker's a very unique vision in horror. Yeah. If you're not familiar with Clive Barker, he did the Hellraisers. Not Once They Get Crappy, mind you.
Sure.
Predominantly did a lot of, before film, did a lot of book authoring. So if you're into really weird sexual deviancy and violence, Clive Barker's definitely up your alley.
Yeah, if you like S&M demons and that kind of thing.
That's definitely Hellraiser. Yeah, the proposed title of Hellraiser, I don't know if you know this, was Sadomasochists from Beyond the Grave.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, and I think that speaks volumes about what Hellraiser is
Why
about.
Didn't that stick?
I have no idea.
I have one of those books. I haven't read it in a million years. It's different enough, but...
Yeah, The Hellbound Heart, probably.
Yes, yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah, I really like the Clive Barker stuff, and his stuff is so bizarre. He also did Candyman for other films you may be familiar
with.
Did he
do Lords of Illusions?
Yes.
I love that one.
Favorites.
One of us has to get that on here.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I just bring it up because I hear it, and I'm like, oh, I'll watch that, and it'll actually get on here.
It's over there. It's hidden within the AOL discs as a copy of Lord of Illusions on Blu-ray. But yeah, it's just not a great film. There's some cool stuff, and I want to cite, this is the first time this has ever happened to me in the history of the podcast.
Ooh.
I had to watch the trailer to remember part of the film.
Oh, wow.
The second story in the whole thing. I remember the tie together. I remember two of the stories. The third story, I legitimately had no recollection of, and I had to go back and watch the trailer to remember what the second story was about.
Welcome to my world.
So it kind of walks this line, and it's a question I had to ask myself when I was rating this, is do I consider a film that's bad, like a bad horror film, a better or worse time than a movie that's as forgettable as this was.
Mm.
So it was a really tough one for me to evaluate because I wouldn't necessarily say they did a bad job overall. The acting is fine. The direction works. Everything is, it lands. It's just not really any, like I said, it's kind of like, let's take Clive Barker and just really file all the edges off of his work.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Would you feel that any of these stories could have been a full length?
Probably not.
Interesting.
If they wanted to develop it further, maybe, like, the seeds are there. That's what's so interesting about Barker is he always presents something that the more you invest into it mentally, the more you can pull out of his work. Even his films, his better films, tend to kind of be like, oh, that's really an interesting concept. Even if it doesn't quite land, like Nightbreed, I think, is a great example of a really cool concept that doesn't quite get there. I love Nightbreed.
Yeah, he's good at world building.
Yes. Oh, so good at it. And yeah. So he's so strange and interesting and has such a weird way to look at things that's like, oh wow, that's really unique. But this just kind of was just like, let's just kind of present, like, how can we boil this down to 1 to 2 sentences and just put it up there so everybody can kind of take something away from it. And it's just kind of like, cool, but not anything great.
Wow, I don't think I've ever seen you so down on a horror anthology. I don't know what to do.
It's a rough one. IMDb 5.6 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 27 critics, 22%.
Ooh.
Yeah. Audience, 50 plus. And these are verified audience members, according to the little snippet.
That's right.
30%. I'm coming in above the Rotten Tomatoes, but below the IMDb at a 3.5 out of 10. Because it's just, you're going to watch it. You're going to go for a few weeks and then not remember what the hell. You're like, what was in that movie that happened? Like, you might remember a cool moment, but that's about all you're going to pull out of it.
You might even be like, what were those three movies about the...
Yeah, it was just not, it was forgettable, which kind of sucks.
Man, that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, buddy.
That's all right.
Well, I got another movie, and this one comes with a spoiler warning, because it's El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie.
Ooh.
So if you have intentions to watch Breaking Bad and you haven't done it yet, now's the time to pause this.
Yep.
Because this movie takes place directly after the last episode of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
So are you guys good with Breaking Bad or no?
You've seen it all, right? Okay.
All right.
You haven't? I've not seen El Camino, but you're okay. Good to spoil.
Well, I won't go crazy in the spoilers.
You rarely do, but
yeah, I try to keep it vague-ish so people can
I'll still watch it no matter what, bitch.
So we're back with Aaron Paul after we were just talking about Aaron Paul and how I want good things for him. I really feel this is a great vehicle for him. He really does a good job, but of course, he's being Jesse again.
Right.
And this is some really good work with Jesse because this is Jesse coming full circle. This is him after all the insanity that is Breaking Bad and what he does with it.
That's cool.
So the movie is 2 hours and 2 minutes. I watched it on April 22nd. Action crime drama directed by Vince Gilligan, who did direct the majority of the series, and not all of it.
He did the show running and writing through most of the series. He directed here and there.
Okay.
But you got like Ryan Johnson, a bunch of A-list directors were just like, can I come do this? Amazing.
Starring Aaron Paul, Jonathan Banks, Matt Jones, and Jesse Plemons, I think is how you say it. That guy is awesome.
Yeah.
He's the guy who plays Todd.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen him in other stuff since.
Yeah.
And he's just always kind of an untrustworthy... He does untrustworthy scumbag really good. And I've seen him do it so many different ways. I'm telling you, this kid's going somewhere.
Master of scumbaggery.
He is the master of scumbaggery.
I love it.
Now we got to meet him and give him like a plaque or something. I don't know.
I mean, we got the episode title right there, Master of Scumbaggery.
Yeah, no, we're not topping that.
No, that's a good one.
Your summary, fugitive Jesse Pinkman runs from his captors, the law, and his past.
Yeah.
Big enough for me.
I think so.
Bullet points, you should watch all of Breaking Bad first because it is a direct sequel.
You should also just watch it because it's fucking phenomenal television.
It's super, super good. I think the only criticisms I ever hear is like the drug use is real rough if that's something that's a trigger for you.
Yes.
But beyond that.
The last season's a little weird.
A little weird.
It ties the room together, I think.
It does. It gets there.
Yep.
A large critique of this movie is it feels like a long episode.
Okay.
But then I kind of question, is that a bad thing?
Not if it's Breaking Bad.
Right. Right. Todd is the best weirdo character ever is one of my bullet points.
Yeah.
And then my last bullet point is that you get extra closure on the series, which I think is fun because you're kind of like, had they not done this to kind of tie up a little bit of loose ends, I think it would have been fine because I think Breaking Bad is, it's just like, you don't need to know every little thing at the end.
You need to see kind of like, it is the story of Walter White, right? Yes. Like it's what Walter White does. So being able to kind of cast, you know what I mean, a little bit of a light onto Jesse, who was such an integral part of what Walter became and kind of his, like strangely enough, his moral compass towards the end.
Yeah.
Seeing, like, I think it doesn't, I didn't cringe when I heard that they were going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of speaks volumes. It's like, oh, that's an interesting idea.
Well, I think the big thing about Breaking Bad is you start like, you like Walter and root for Walter. By the end of it, you kind of do a 360 and now you're kind of like, you're rooting for Jesse more than Walter.
It's really interesting.
They do a double switch.
Once he becomes Heisenberg, it's like, he just like, he's everything you don't want him to be. Everything he kind of is like, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this for this. And then he loses. It's, and people watch this fucking show. It's unreal.
Please do. I watched it late after it already ended. I already knew what the ending was before I started the shit series. And I was like, I don't care. I still want to watch it. It was still worth it.
Oh, it's so good.
100%.
Yes.
The movie's great, just not that great. Because as a movie, I consider it not that great, but as a story, I think it's good.
Right, like it's getting a huge boost from being the tail end of Breaking Bad.
Super interesting. So IMDb gave it a 7.3. Rotten Tomato critics, I found this interesting. 128 critics, 91%.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. That's high.
The audience gave it 81%. That's 5,000 plus.
Plus.
And my wife and I watched this together because we watched the series together.
Nice.
And we both agreed.
Whoa.
I know. You know what's weird? We're going to be agreeing some more, and it blows my mind because we're very different people.
Yeah.
6.0.
Okay.
We both came to that conclusion.
That's fair.
Just definitely watch it. It might not be what you want as far as a movie, but as far as just tying up that little bit of loose ends that was left, it'll do it.
Felt right.
Mm-hmm.
Felt right.
Yep.
I like that we both had tough to evaluate films in this episode.
Yeah.
I like that.
We like to make it hard.
I'll make it easy for us to conclude. Nice. 2012.
Okay.
The Master.
The Master?
The Master.
Master.
I watched this in November.
What?
Of 2020.
We
made it through October.
We got out, everybody.
We did it. The minutes for this one, it's a long boy, 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That is a drama directed by one of my all-time favorite directors, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh, okay.
The best Anderson.
That's right.
You want to come over and fight me, Wes Anderson?
Wes, get in the ring.
I will lay you out. Paul W.S. Anderson, I will pee on you while I fight Wes Anderson.
Oh, man.
Just
gauntlet thrown.
I'm just saying he stinks. This Paul W.S. Anderson, he stinks.
Wow.
Starring Amy Adams, Joaquin Phoenix, and the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, I love him.
Me too.
Oh, so good.
Mm-hmm. Your summary for this? A naval veteran arrives home from war, unsettled and uncertain of his future, until he is tantalized by the cause and its charismatic leader.
Mm.
So this movie is basically a parable of the Scientology movement.
Right.
So it is not the Scientology. He is not, Philip Seymour Hoffman does not play L. Ron Hubbard. He plays an entirely different character,
right.
But there's parallels you can see if you understand the history of the religion or of the movement, whatever, however you want to phrase it.
Well, that's smart because it's like, hey, if you believe it or if you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. This is, what if it's this?
Yeah, this is, what makes it really interesting is this is Anderson's interpretation of it.
Right.
And like him kind of, you know what I mean, taking the pieces he wants from the story, and he in no way has to tie himself down to this, like, at least kind of loose truce for the biopic. So he doesn't have to do that. He can kind of go his
own
direction.
You mean a biopic?
Biopic. No, you're wrong. It's not some weird superhero from the 90s. Biopic. My biopic vision is no match for you.
Two eyes.
But I got to tell you, Anderson, who wrote and directed this movie, he is so, so, so good at making absolutely compelling characters.
Nice.
Like, you've seen Boogie Nights?
Yes.
Very also good movie. Did Boogie, Boogie Nights is one of my favorite movies. Like, the fact that you can, like, look at characters like Dirk Diggler and not just be like, this is the stupidest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life. Either you take him completely seriously, and the same thing happens for these characters. Like, you see Seymour Hoffman's character, and you're just kind of like, what is this guy? But you can see, like, they spent so much time building up Joaquin Phoenix's character, who's extremely unsettled, has always been kind of on the edge of unhinged, hence the, like, going out to the service, trying to find a place in life, and he just can't really fit into society. So it's like the perfect person to kind of magnet to this guy.
Nice.
And like you can see the other people who are kind of like that, kind of broken, but he offers a way to make them whole and feel accepted. And just, it's so compelling and interesting the way he like lays it out. It's, there's just enough, like you can't quite put your finger on like Philip Seymour Hoffman's character being just a complete bullshit artist, or if there's something that, if he's being genuine or he's just full of shit to try to just get people to follow him so that he can take advantage of having a religion, getting donations, you know what I mean, evading taxes. It's really, really interesting. Like, it's such a fun and interesting, not fun movie. It's not a fun movie, but it's fun to think about. And again, the more you invest into it, the more you get back out of it. It's really compelling.
It's good that it gets the gears turning.
Yes, I really like it. It's grossing and mesmerizing is what I put as a note. Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. That note will never be tough.
IMDb gives it a 7.2 out of 10. Pretty good for them. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 255 of them gave it 84%. The audience, 50,000 plus, gave it 62%. And I come in just a touch under the critics at 8 out of 10 for this one.
That's pretty good.
It is very, if you're in the mood for a drama you have to mentally invest in and think over, man, you're going to get so much out of this one. With any Anderson, There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights. I mean, you name it, you're going
to
get it.
Any Anderson who wants to come on this podcast, feel free to let me know. We could talk about The Babysitter too.